If you have your Bibles, if you would join me, we're going to continue our study in James this morning. We've been in James for the last few weeks, and what I have learned so far is that it stings. James is tough, but I have grown in the study probably more than I ever have in any study that I've went through. So I hope that you guys can get a sense of where my heart is as well. One more time, if you are able. If you're not, I completely understand. But for the honor and the glory of the reading of God's Word, if you would stand with me, we're going to go to the book of James, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. It says here, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. When it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, we have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." Lord God, I ask that you guide my words. Lord, that it be only your words from your scripture. And God, may you bind the enemy that he may not snatch any seed that is spread and to be planted today. Lord, may it be received in fresh and fertile ground. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Just a little recap. We spent the last, I don't know, two now, maybe 3 weeks in the book of James. And I would akin James to be the Proverbs of the New Testament. Practical, punchy, and piercing. Of course, James is the half-brother of Jesus, who did not receive Christ until after the resurrection. But he saw Jesus live his life and follow his word day in and day out. James was a leader in the early church to scattered people who were fleeing persecution. And James's question is not, "Do you believe?" It asked, "Does your belief behave?" I'll say that again. James doesn't ask, do you believe? It asks, does your belief behave? In chapter 1, James says that real faith endures trials. Real faith resists temptation. Real faith is quick to listen and slow to speak. Real faith says he calls us not just to hear the word, but also do the word. In chapter 2, he drives that point home a little further. He says, faith without works is like a car without gas. It's going nowhere. Now in chapter 3, he zeroes in on some specific work that often goes unchecked. See, James keeps adding on. He started with general. This is the way you live your life. If your works don't match your belief, maybe you need to do some checking on your faith. But here in chapter 3, he zeroes in on something specific. So important that he devotes part of his letter to. And that is our words. If your faith works, it must speak well. Because what rolls off the tongue reveals what's in the heart. Adrian Rogers was famous to say this: what is down in the well will come up in the bucket. The tongue has great power, guys. Anything that has great power, I've gotten cell phones in a package before. Y'all ever got that? Send a cell phone back to the provider, or any type of battery electronics? It's got all kinds of warnings on that box. So much that whenever you send that box off, you can't just put it in any ordinary box. They're going to give you the postage label and a warning label for you to step on that thing. Because there's power in that box. It can explode. So we have to handle our tongue as if it can explode at any time. We have to handle it with care. Handle it with care. So James begins here with a warning that might make every Bible teacher gulp. That's me, in pastor's positions, that's Sunday school teachers, that's Awana leaders, that's children's ministry leaders, that's our teachers at the school. It's everybody. Everybody that stands before somebody and says, this is what the Bible says. It should make us all gulp just a little. Because he says in verse 1, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we should receive a stricter judgment. Why? Why should teachers, pastors, receive a stricter judgment? It's because teachers use words to shape souls. And words are not cheap. They're charged, just like that battery in that box. They're charged with power. A misplaced word can do more damage than a misfired bullet. So James, the brother of Jesus, goes back to his playbook and goes back to give some parables here. And he gives three of them. He gives a parable of a bit in a horse's mouth that turns a half-ton animal. Y'all seen the bit in the horse mouth, right? Very small compared to the size of the horse. And a rudder steers a cruise ship through hurricane winds. A spark can burn down a forest. Y'all remember, my first cousin, her husband, I don't know if that makes a cousin-in-law. I don't really know what that means. But anyhow, I've always considered him my cousin. He's been in my family for a long time, and we love him dearly. But he's a firefighter. Currently, he's running the recovery effort in Pogi with the hurricane and all that. But in 2016, he was on the road headed as soon as they called for help to Gatlinburg. Lincoln Dixon and I and Monica, we got to go down to Gatlinburg a few months ago for Lincoln's band honor that he had. And one thing that we all noticed is Gatlinburg doesn't look like it used to. Gatlinburg is still showing the signs of that almost 10-year fire that devastated that area. I remember my firefighter family member going down and facing those fires, and the stories he would call back and tell us, how horrific, people trying to escape, and he was on the effort to try to get them people out, and it was just absolutely awful. But if you remember, it was started by teenagers tossing lit matches. And a small flame, a small spark, turned into a catastrophic blaze that killed people. That's the tongue, too. That's what James is telling us here. One careless moment can torch a friendship. One careless, sarcastic jab can drive a wedge in a marriage. And one gossip session can split a church. So the tongue is a matchstick in a mouthful of gasoline. So if your faith is real, your mouth will show it. The Holy Spirit doesn't change what you believe. He also just changes what you say. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So we find in verse 5 that the tongue is difficult to control. So walk in humility. Let's look at James chapter, let's look at verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and he boasts great things. See how a great forest and a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell itself. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's not poetic exaggeration. That's the divine. That's what God says. That's what God says the diagnosis is for our tongue. The tongue, when it is left to itself, becomes a flamethrower from hell itself. James says, no man can tame the tongue. But guys, that don't mean it's hopeless. It just means that we can't do it. It's humbling. Because we can't tame the tongue, but I know a man who can. It means that we can't white knuckle and just try to fight our way through into holy speech. You don't need a better filter, you need a new fountain. Think of trying to tame a lion with just stern talk and a leash. You know what's going to happen? That lion's going to eat you before it obeys you. Only a trained handler has any chance. And our tongue is exactly the same. We need God. We need the master handler to take over and tame our tongue. Only God Himself can tame your conversations. So how do we get there? What do we do? Well, this calls for daily surrender. A prayer. It says, Lord, take my words. Filter every word I say through grace. Filter every word I say through mercy before it leaves my lips. Let's move on. The tongue also reveals the heart. So speak with integrity. Look at James chapter 9, verse 9. With it we bless our God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So James points out a painful contradiction. It's like saying, Lord, you are amazing. Holy is your name on Sunday. And then saying, that guy's a jerk on Monday. And James says, brothers, that shouldn't be. That should not be. So he gives some earthly examples here. Again, going back to parables. He says, springs don't give both fresh and bitter water. He says fig trees that are designed to be fig trees, if you're going to be a fig tree and you're going to claim to be a Christian and be a fig tree, you better produce figs. Don't produce olives. And he's saying grapevines, that's supposed to be a grapevine, if you're going to call yourself a grapevine, don't produce figs, produce grapes. You can't bless like Jesus and bite like Judas. Jesus says, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. So your tongue is like a spiritual thermometer. It tells on your soul. It tells on your soul. Imagine your words like a mirror. What do your words reflect? What do your words reflect? What's going on in here? Is it grace or is it grumbling? Is it encouragement or is it ego? And do people leave conversations with you feeling like they're being lifted or loaded down? And if Christ lives in your heart, He should also live in your vocabulary. As I tie this up this morning, let the Lord tame your tongue. James don't hand out these warnings, though. He provides a way forward. Ask yourself, do my words heal or hurt? Do they build up or do they tear down? Do they reflect a heart that is surrendered to Christ? The good news, while no man can tame, God can transform. When Jesus changes your heart, He rewrites your script of what you're saying. So I ask this morning that you give Him the pen. That you let Him write the words on your heart. I'm reminded of Psalms 19, verse 14, that said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Can we let that be our prayer? Can we let that be our daily prayer as we grow in faith, as we walk in wisdom, as we learn to speak like citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom? Can we do that, folks? Can you stand with me? If I could have our musicians go on. Lord Jesus, God, thank you for the truth that we have found in your word. Lord, thank you for the conviction of your spirit. God, I'm reminded today through your word that our words carry power. Lord, we have the power to heal, the power to harm, the power, Lord, to build someone up, Lord God, and the power to tear them down. And God, we confess that, and I confess, Lord, that too often my tongue has been used for the wrong things. I ask that you forgive me. God, if we've spoken carelessly, selfishly, or sometimes even spitefully, God, I ask that you forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, oh God. God, help us surrender our mouths to you today. God, tame our tongues. Lord, not just by changing our speech, but transforming our hearts. Let the words that we speak, God, reflect who you are, God, and who lives within us. Lord, words full of grace and mercy and love and truth. God, I ask that the Holy Spirit fill us daily. God, I ask that you filter our conversations through the heart of Christ. God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to bless. Help us not to curse. Help us to encourage, God, and not to condemn. God, help us speak life. And God, help us not speak death. God, in our relationships, Lord, may our families hear kindness. God, with our co-workers, Lord, may they hear that we're people of integrity. God, with our neighbors, God, will they hear peace. God, for the world, Lord, may they hear Jesus. Let the words of our mouth, Lord, and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. God, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, in your precious and holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our altar is open. If you, perhaps you feel like that maybe your tongue has not been in the right place, your mouth has not been in check, maybe words have been bitter instead of full of grace and mercy. I encourage you, Lord, to come down or sit where you're at right now, wherever you feel comfortable, and let's cry out to God that our words be acceptable to Him. If you don't know Jesus, this one we're speaking of, and you don't know how in the world that you can tame your tongue. In your relationships, you've been spiteful. You've drove wedges instead of built bridges. I'm asking you to make that right today. If you don't know that one that can help you tame, that master tamer, that master that can tame the unwieldy tongue, His name's Jesus, and He died for you. He gave His life for you. He can forgive you. And you can begin reflecting who Christ is in your heart to those around you. That can happen today, because the Bible says that not tomorrow, not next week, that today is the day of salvation. And hallelujah, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. Make that decision today. We'll be here to pray with you. Lord, we come to you again. Lord, I ask that you help us more than we've ever been helped before. God, sometimes I do not know the answer, Lord, and this is one. But I know you are. I know you're the answer. Sometimes you can't see it, but I know you're there. God, I know that you're going to walk with us, and you're going to guide us. In your holy name we pray.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
your verse,
just as I am.
This altar's still open if anyone needs to come. Special prayer, we're available for you. If I could have our deacons come. Miss Alice is going to be having surgery.
Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. Miss Joan is going to be having... Sorry. Miss Joan is going to be having surgery on Tuesday morning. And she's asked us to lift her up in prayer. Lord God, we come to you on behalf of Miss Joan. God, we ask that you you guide this surgeon's hand. Lord, I ask that you prepare those nurses and therapists and God, those doctors, the entire team, Lord, that is going to be caring for her. God, I ask that you foreordain the team that she's going to have. And Lord God, may they be work excellent on every step that that is taken in this medical procedure. God, we know that you are the maker of these bodies, and you know that they're how they're supposed to function. And God, we ask that everything come back into alignment of how things are supposed to work. Yes. Things are supposed to act according to your purpose, God. Yes. So Joan can have the strength that she needs to serve you and to be there for her family. Lord, we believe you for these things. We know that you are good and just, and we know that you want the best for Miss Joan, and we're believing for that. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Are our minds and hearts clear at this time? If so, we do have an update for our members. If you're not a member, you can stay also. But if you need to leave, we completely understand. You're dismissed. But we're asking our members to stay for this update. It'd be just a few minutes, from what I understand. And I'll hand it over to